What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 35 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast. Welcome to Wayne's World. So on the last episode, we touched on the fact that a few games are going to be taken off the route and retired permanently and live with Cat and James. And those machines are Star Trek 25th, the Data East one, Evel Knievel, and Bride of Pinbot. So a couple weeks ago, Cat met me at TISC, the Tucson Indoor Sports Center, our main location, and to help me load up the two machines that are there. And that helped me not make two trips back and forth. And my escape, I have a very nice routine set up for how I move a machine. I can do it by myself. And I can't move two vehicles, or I can't move two pinball machines in my vehicle, obviously. So she met me there with her Equinox. And that has a slightly different setup, but we've moved a machine in that before. I was kind of familiar with it, knew it was going to be. There's a little bit of a slope, so you got to get it up and over that little ridge and then just push it in, and it's just the same. Evel Knievel went in my vehicle, and that was super easy because Bally's are kind of easy. Just take the glass off, undo the four bolts, and you're good to go. And really just balancing things off, and it's kind of up to your discretion whether you take all the connectors off and move the back glass separate from, or not the back glass, but the head, separate from the cabinet, and that's what we did just because it was a little bit easier. So that's just the way we went. So the next game was going to be Star Trek, and that was a little bit of fun because I have never had a Data East game, and so I completely forgot about the fact that it's a hex key in the back. It's not got a latch. It's not got bolts or anything holding it down like System 11s do. It is a hex key. So I'm like, I have a small set of hex keys in my kit for doing flipper rebuild kits and stuff like that. So I tried one of those out, and the largest one did not fit. I was like, we can access, we can get into the front side of the head by taking the translite out, opening the board, dropping down the panel where the display and the speakers are in. And so I started taking apart the lock from the inside, and there's carriage bolts on the outside so that you can't actually grab anything and try to turn it. And a carriage bolt is a rounded, it's a screw, and then there's a rounded head on the outside, and then there's a square interface that goes into whatever it is you're locking it into, and this happens to be wood. Typically it's metal, but this was wood, and so I started taking those apart, and I took the top two off, and that's where when you do the locking latch, that's what actually locks into it. Hoping maybe that would kind of wiggle free and I could manipulate that off. No luck. And so I started taking the bottom two apart, and one of them, one of the carriage bolts actually was spinning in the wood, and it's like, oh no. And of course I have no way of grabbing it without messing up the game, and I don't really want to do that at all. So I was like, okay, well, I don't really know what to do at this point. We're just kind of stuck. So back to that hex key set that I have, I got the largest one because I can reach from the inside now. So I got the largest one, and I put that on the outside. And then I can reach because it's a straight hex all the way through to the other side. So I started with my small key, and I slid it in, and it wouldn't lock in place. So I took that out, tried the next biggest one. I think I had to do it maybe twice. And the combination of the largest key on the outside and two or three sizes up from the bottom on the inside, and I was able to turn it and undo the lock. So, yeah, that was kind of fun. So then I got to put everything back together, and probably we spent an extra 45 minutes or an hour there, but it's just like, there's not a hex key in the game, which a lot of times if there's like a unique tool needed, not tool, but, you know, I would have left a hex key in there just because I would have run into this situation on my own in the past. So just to, you know, lessons learned, hey, I would have thrown that in there, but you know, it's no big deal. Cause he had one in his kit at all time. And so, you know, you wouldn't have thought anything of it. She just didn't happen to have, the toolbox with her because she had come straight from work. All right. So, we get the game loaded in the car and off we go back to her house, and we get there and let's see, I think we loaded an Evel Knievel. It doesn't even matter. We got Star Trek in first and got it all set up and put it on free play and whatever. It's easy. In between this trip and when I picked up Bride, I bought myself a pin wrench because those are amazing. And so, yeah, because I got to use a pin wrench a few times during this ordeal, it's like, you know what? It's really nice not having to have a socket wrench set. And, you know, you know you have two, but if you take one off, then it's going to be loose somewhere, and you just put it back in the container, but then you got to keep track of the container. With a pin wrench, you don't have to do any of that. So $20, super well spent. I would highly recommend doing that. So Star Trek is in. It's we put the head up, we lock it with the proper key, and then power it up. Everything's good. Play a game. Life is good. I said it's free play later just because doing it right then and there was not really the task at hand. We were trying to get games in. So at their house, they have a pin dolly, like a proper pinball dolly. And so her dad was there. They were visiting from out of town. And he was wheeling it down. It's kind of a steep driveway. I was standing at the back of the Traverse. Not the Traverse, I'm sorry, the Equinox. And I had pressed the button to unlatch it, right, so that you were going to open the door. And on my vehicle, the shocks are worn out enough that when you do that, it'll just stay there. It doesn't, like, it'll stay up if you lift it up. It will not push itself up if it's down and you've just unlatched it. So all of a sudden I hear this, like, metallic crashing sound as the cart or the dolly has freed itself from her dad's possession and is now coming down the hill towards me, and he is kind of following it right behind. And so so I don't open the latch. I just leave it shut where I would assume to be shut. I turn, and I go to stop the dolly, and he's holding onto it. So thereby stopping him as well. And so everybody, I did that. Everybody stayed upright. Everybody was fine. And about 2 seconds later, I see out of the corner of my eye as I'm turning back, the tail of the trunk has opened on the Equinox. It has pushed itself open. And Evil, the head, has shifted in transport. So down goes the head of Evil. So let me give you a little bit of a backstory on Evil. Robert bought this game for $125, and it didn't work. The whites were yellow, and everything was nasty. He did a full stencil kit on the outside. He did CPR playfield, everything. Everything's really nice. Powder coated all the metallic stuff on the cabinet. And the back glass, when he bought this machine, the back glass was worth more than what he paid for the whole game. The back glass is beautiful. Like, it doesn't have lifting paint anywhere. Like, the trim might have a little rust on it, but I think all of them do. But, like, it's beautiful. So as I see the trunk opening and this thing tumbling out, I'm just like, oh no. So I'm too far away. I can't grab it in time to, you know, save it from hitting the ground. And it hits the ground. And in my mind, I'm just like, I know what class sounds like. Where's the sound? And so I'm looking at it, and it lands on one of the corners. Like, if it's upright, it lands on one of the corners. And then it just kind of, it doesn't fall over, but because I kind of catch it at that point. But I'm just like, and I look at it, and the glass is facing me, and it does not break. I'm just like, oh my gosh, that thing just survived like a, I don't know, 3.5-4 foot drop. And damage done is a little bit of dinging on that one corner where it landed. And outside of that, everything else looks pretty good. So that was one of those things where it's like, I turned to Kat and I was like, I don't know what to save, your dad or the game. And she's like, no, save the dad. The dad is, you know, save the dad. So, you know, I made the right play, but I was just like, oh my gosh, if that glass breaks. So, yeah, that was the scare of the move. Got everything else inside and, set up, and there's an Altec, all-in-one board in Evel Knievel. So it was a super easy, selection to change that to free play. So yeah, got that all set up, got those play tested a little bit, and everything's good. So kind of left there, said, hey, it might take me another 2 weeks or so to get Bride over as far as the schedule will allow. But yeah, after that, it was just down to one game. So filling the hole, at Tisk, the two slots that are empty. On the far left side, where which one was it? Star Trek sits. That's where Stars is going to sit because that's in transit. That's going to be a story for another day, but that's currently in Phoenix. I'm waiting for them to call me to set up a delivery day because I think, based on when Attack from Mars got delivered, I think they only come down like once a week, and I think it's on Fridays. And it got there on Wednesday, and this is now Monday. It got there on Wednesday, and I was expecting a phone call. And no, one never came on Thursday. So, and of course, they're not going to call on Friday morning being like, hey, the truck's on its way down. When are you going to be there? Because that would just probably not go over too well on a really consistent basis. So they probably just don't even try. So, yeah. So Stars is coming and I'm excited and several people are excited. And some players are just like, I don't get it. And it's like, well, we'll just have to let you play Stars to understand the magic of Stars. So, yeah. And then where Evil was, I had my second high speed was really just taken apart on the top side. Put all new rubbers on it, LED'd everything, and put it out there. So I had it in the garage playing. I play tested it at least, I don't want to say 50 times, but it was probably pretty close. So north of 25, south of 50 plays on it. And everything was good. And so I get it out there, and it starts freezing. So I got it out there on a Friday, and on a Thursday, I think, is when we had a tournament, and Ben's over there playing it, and it, like, it'll freeze, and it'll just have this really long, pronounced sound, whatever sound effect it's on, like, it'll draw it out really long. And it was making some really interesting sounds when the siren was going off. And I have no idea what sound effect was playing when it froze one time. But it sounded like one of the ghost levels in Super Mario Kart. Where you're driving around and everything's like the flooring is all just like wooden boards. And there's ghosts and like the whole background is black. And there's ghosts that show up every now and then. And it was just like very haunted house sounding. And so whatever sound effect that was, when you play it really, really, really slow, you get to play N64 games, which is kind of cool. So I researched that a little bit, and common suggestions were, hey, the power supply probably needs to get rebuilt. So put those parts on order. They are here. And next time I'm over there, I will snag the board because I don't think I'll be able to do all those parts during an event, but I might be able to if I get there early enough, so I'll just bring it with and try to do that swap when I can. All right, so that's high speed. Oh, and we had League, so this is a Thursday, and we had League that Saturday, and I was just like, ugh, I have 8 games. You know, we play 8 games, and I like to have 9, and there's a spot for 9, just isn't filled yet. And so I was hoping that high speed, it's like, you know what? Saturday morning, I'm like, okay, I got to figure this out because I don't really have any other options. No other games are ready to go out. Like, I would literally just throw a game in my car, take it out to League, and then if I had to, bring it back. But it's like, you know what? High speed, if it freezes, I'll just put a sign on there that says, if it freezes, come find Wayne and we'll try again, you know, and we'll just kind of plow through it as best we can. So I get there, and that's when I, you know, high speed is off. I turn it on. None of the coils will work. And it's like, ooh, okay. So we probably blew a fuse at some point. I'm wondering if a coil locked on when it froze. So hopefully we didn't fry any coils or transistors. Hopefully it blew the fuse first. Fingers crossed. And we'll see. We'll see what happens when I open it up. So anyways, so that's the plan for now. When Stars arrives, we will all celebrate and play that a lot, hopefully. So... And I have a bride story, but I want to interject with a little bit of going deep inside the numbers. So here we go.
Extreme close up! Whoa! Whoa! Whoa!
All right, so this extreme close up, we're going to talk about Stern's actual market share because. George Gomez was on the Head to Head Pinball podcast recently. Amazing interview. He's been on a couple podcasts. He's always a very, very good person to talk to because he's an executive vice president at Stern Pinball. He knows an awful lot about what goes on, and he's also obviously a game designer. So he knows, you know, the workings of the business, but he also understands the actual, you know, meat and potatoes of the business, which is designing and building and selling pinball machines. So he said recently that Sturm Pinball has 98% of the market, which is kind of interesting because at one point, I think maybe it was Gary said, oh, we've got like 94, 95, 96%, whatever it is. And that's been a while. So I just found it kind of peculiar that that number had gone up because, yeah, I'm not quite sure about that. So, and I, you know what, George was probably throwing a number out and I'm not nitpicking on the number. I was just fascinated and curious by the statement. So I threw together a little bit of a spreadsheet and I, over the last couple of days have been kind of thinking of the companies because I don't want to miss one, but I probably did anyways. So here we go. So the companies I have are Stern, Jersey Jack, American, Spooky, Chicago Gaming, P3 Multimorphic, Home Pin, Team Pinball, and Deep Root. So the numbers that I have numbers for some of them because some of them have been stated. I do not have numbers for all of them. So I just threw something in there as wild speculation. I don't even want to call it like an educated guess, but so wild speculation it is. So Stern, actually Gomez said on that interview, he said Stern can put out a maximum of 50 pinball machines a day. Okay, so I have everything listed as games per week because that's how a lot of people quote, you know, their manufacturing capacity. Or it's been listed as either how many per day, how many per week, or how many per month. And if you do it, you know, just I just put it all into per week, and then that makes it easy to sort. So Stern can do 250 per week, and that's the max per George Gomez on a very recent podcast. Jersey Jack can do 75 per week based on what Jack said during the Buffalo Pinball Tour. He said they can do 300 a month, so that's 75 a week. American Pinball was recently quoted as being able to do 35 machines a week. Spooky can do 12 to 15, according to Charlie, on a somewhat recent podcast. And so in the past, though, they've been doing 10. So 12 to 15 is an increase. I put 12 to be on the safe side. And Chicago Gaming, P3, Home Pin, Team Pinball, and Deep Root. Well, Deep Root's currently at zero, but I guessed for the rest because I have no idea. So Chicago Gaming, I have a feeling it's more than this, but I just said 20. And they're making Attack from Mars, a Medieval Madness. So I think that's probably on the low side, but whatever. P3, they have all their pre-orders have shipped, and they are now building customers or building games for current customers as they come in. Home Pin, they have just recently started shipping. I'm saying 10 per week as a guess. I don't even think they're at that pace, but by the time they get it all said and done, that's probably a fair estimate for now. Team Pinball, they just recently released Mafia. We know that's going to be limited to 100. They already have 10 made, and they're going to be working on the remainder. I said they can do 4 per week, because why not? We're guessing. So, by those numbers, oh, and Deep Root has 5 titles in work. They haven't said if they're going to release them all at once, or if it's going to be kind of a slow roll type thing. But they say a lot of things. So we'll see what actually happens. So, by that breakdown, we have Deep Root has 0% of the market. Team Pinball has 1% of the market. Home Pin has 2% of the market. P3 has 1%. Chicago Gaming has 5%. Spooky Pinball has 3%. American Pinball has 9%. Jersey Jack has 18%. And that leaves Stern Pinball with 61% of the market. So where anybody is saying 90%+, you know, that's just a that's an estimated guess, just like my Team Pinball and Home Pin and P3 guesses and Chicago Gaming. Those are all guesses. Stern has said what they made. JJP said what they made. American has. So has Spooky. And even if you take out everybody but Jersey Jack, you still are not in the 90s. So anyways, I just thought that was kind of interesting and a fun little exercise. And yeah, if you've got any data on the ones that I'm guessing on, let me know.
Excellent.
All right, so back to Bride of Pinbot. So that was kind of fun because Bride of Pinball is in a brew pub, and they open on Fridays at 2:30. So I went on a Friday right at 2:30, maybe like 2:35. And they already had like five or six people in there, and it's kind of a quietish place in the first place. Like, Ghostbusters is set to one, and he's like, does it go down anymore? It's like, no, it doesn't. In fact, it doesn't like being set to one anyways. You should be thankful that I haven't turned on the Scream, because the Scream doesn't care what volume you have it on. So anyways, Bride is in a kind of a quiet location. As the night goes on, it gets a little bit fine, but the early evening type setup, yeah, that's a little bit calm. But that's when I could go. And so I was going to bring Dolly Parton over from Lazy Days because that's all ready to go. And so trading one out for the other. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, I've moved a couple games already today, and I'm just going to knock this one out really quick. And I get in there, and I'm like, oh, shoot, there's people here. So I get my Dolly, and I go in there, and I'm moving Bride out of the way. I bring Dolly in, ratchet it up, you know, make sure everything's good. And turn it on, make sure the volume's not too loud. Turn that down just a little bit, because it wasn't set too loud anyways. I was playing it with the coin door open so that I could kind of hear the speaker as well as turn the volume down if I needed to. And just the coils firing off from the underside and listening through the open coin door, like that was the most dominant sound in the building. So, yeah, so I felt kind of like everybody's staring at me. So I'm trying to do this quickly and efficiently, but not so quickly. I'm making a ton of noise. And, my cart squeaks if you push it backwards. If you pull it forwards, it doesn't make any noise. It sounds really nice. But when you push it backwards, it squeaks like crazy. And I didn't really want to do that either. So it took me an hour to swap out this game and set Dolly up. So, yeah. But Dolly's in the place. I brought Bride back to Kat's place, got that all set up, put it on free play, and so now that trio is set up and happy. So other recent moves are I brought Derek's Gottlieb stock car. It's a 1969 or 1970, I believe. My old Chicago and Doodlebug, those three are set to be worked on here soon by a local EM guy, because I've just gotten to the point where it's like, you know what? I just want to observe somebody that knows what they're doing. Not that I couldn't figure it out or, you know, get assistance. Ben has offered to help, and I said, okay. And then I got a response back from the EM guy who I'd messaged like 2 days prior to that. And I was like, we might have to pause that because he got back to me, and I just want to watch, you know? So sorry, Ben. I would say yes, I'd invite you, actually. You're invited over, you and Derek. Yeah, so we will already went over Star Trek and the spot that is being filled soon by Stars. High Speed should be up soon. And, yeah, that's about it. Dolly for Bride. So, you know, the ladies are still representing over there at Black Rock Brewery. So we'll see how that response goes to that game. I think it's a good game. It's got inline drops. It's got some chimes. It's got Dolly Parton and her big hair. And, you know, some bell bottoms. And I even heard a guy, like, there was one talker. And I don't want to call him a meme monster, but he was kind of being a meme monster, telling story after story at the bar. But, you could tell, like, as he got up to leave, he's like, oh, man, I got to come back and play that sometime, too, you know. But he was already saying, oh, I got to go. So that was kind of funny that, you know, he noticed the new pinball machine. So, anyways, that's about it. So we got the new lineup going on. We got some games to fix. We got some games arriving. And fingers crossed it's not looking like Attack from Mars when that showed up. And yeah, so some exciting stuff. And that's about it. So thanks for tuning in. Party on.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
It's Wayne's World.